Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Denver Sports Podcast, presented by Breckenridge Brewery, Fun Slinger, Colorado through and through. Check it out. Delicious, crushable this winter. Joined here by the man, the myth, the legend, DNVR Nuggets' own Harrison Wind. Harrison, what a couple game stretch it's been. If the Nuggets aren't playing the Kings, they look like world beaters. And yesterday's absolute end-to-end blowout of the Clippers, a new level for these Nuggets. I kind of can't believe this is my life right now.
Andre, we have a new word for that in Nuggets Nation. It's called Nug Hype. Nug Hype is at an all-time level for this season.
Love this.
The Nuggets are peaking right now just based on what they've done this year. Everybody's healthy, knock on wood. Wow. They're beating great teams. They're winning on national TV. Who is this team?
I like legit don't know how to, I don't know what to do with my hands right now. I this is such an unfamiliar feeling. And it's also an unfamiliar feeling hearing like national pundits really like the Nuggets and talk about them as legit contenders. Like they're not this, scrappy. They're not just ours anymore. They feel like they belong to the world now. I don't know, Harrison. Our little boys are all grown up, and I don't know how to accept it.
Well, part of it is because Nikola Jokic has just become undeniable.
Yeah.
There's just nothing you can say to detract from him, and everybody's finally realized that. And then, like you said, they're doing it on national TV. Do you remember when we used to be terrified of national TV games, Christmas Day games, ESPN, right? TNT against these good top tier teams? They've beaten the Grizzlies, the Suns, the Clippers on national TV in the last 2.5 weeks. The national TV Nuggets.
It's just amazing. And you're right. Jokic is undeniable. And that's another one where I don't even know how to frame the things he's doing or the numbers he's putting up. I do think it's fair to say, like with Donovan Mitchell, there's been a lot, his 70-point night a couple nights ago, there's been a lot of talk about how this is kind of a new era, unique era. It's certainly not the era that I was coming up in 90s and 2000s, where mostly individual numbers and scoring was down and the game kind of got ugly. We are in a historic era of like statistical production, but Jokic even then is just like at another level where like 30, 10 and 10 just is like normal now. I again don't know how to act.
Nikola Jokic had 3 points on 1 of 5 shooting at halftime of the Clippers game last night, and the Nuggets had 66 points and he was dominating. Man. It's pretty undescribable. We've never seen anything like Nikola Jokic. Yeah, I don't think we ever will again.
No doubt.
And he just seems kind of like this urban myth, even though you're watching him every night. He's just this guy who goes out, controls the entire game, doesn't really want to score, just wants to pass. Last night he was in heaven, you know, only having to take 8 shots. Oh. And he just likes to hang out with his family and take care of his horses.
Yeah, you're right. Like if what you just described was a paragraph in a book of like an NBA superstar from the 60s, we wouldn't believe it. We would roll our eyes and laugh it off.
He's like, can you believe this guy dropped 40, 20, and 10 in a game and then was taking care of his horses afterward?
It's madness. What are we even talking about? Right now, the one seed in the West, Harrison, how important is that right now?
I think it's very important. I mean, just because this team has, you know, absolute championship expectations this year, I think it's championship or bust. I know people within the Nuggets think that. Mm-hmm. It definitely is. And the Nuggets are so good at home. They're 15-3 at home. It's the best mark in the NBA, I believe, or tied for the best mark in the NBA with the Grizzlies.
Right.
If they can just get as many home games as possible in the playoffs, that's best case scenario. And they've been able to get to the one seed by Jamal Murray being inconsistent so far this season, as inconsistent as we thought he'd be coming off the ACL. Michael Porter Jr. missed 13 games. The bench has sucked for most of the season. They've only wanted to play defense for one quarter, the fourth quarter, up until the last couple of weeks. All of that's happened, and they're the one seed. So this team still clearly has another gear to get to.
Right.
And yeah, I mean, I think getting the one seed is definitely a goal they should have.
With all that said, are there moves to be made here at the deadline? Certainly in a position to be sellers. Certainly you got to capitalize on this window that Jokic gives them. And as you said, the vibe in the building is it's championship or bust time now. That usually means at the deadline, you get greedy. You try to make one more move. What do you see happening? And if you do see a move happening, what areas need to be addressed?
I think the Nuggets will definitely make one trade, at least one trade. I just think Calvin Booth is aggressive. He knows the moment's there for the taking, and I think he's going to act on it. And, I mean, everybody knows what they're going to go after. It's going to be a defender that can defend the perimeter and defend small forwards and some shooting guards and power forwards and is versatile and rangy. Everybody wants that guy, so it's going to be tough. And I don't really know how many enticing assets the Nuggets are going to want to give up or have to give up. They don't have a lot of first-rounders they can give up.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be, I think, a move that probably makes the fan base pissed, but it's going to be probably the best move they could do.
Mm. Interesting. So less so just like a backup center or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, backup center is interesting. The bench unit has found some stability with Zeke Nnaji at backup center as of late,
which is an interesting option. Yeah.
And, you know, this entire season, he's been the clear, most likely guy to get traded. So I don't know what Denver does with that situation. Backup center, you're also only really playing like 10 minutes a game in the playoffs when you have Nikola Jokic. So I think wing defender is definitely a bigger need, but it'll be interesting.
Well, and then you're putting out clips of MPJ playing majestic defense last night. Who needs wing defender when this is the reality we live in? Finals predictions, Harrison? Right now, January 6th.
Nuggets. Oh,
yeah. Hell yeah.
I mean, I'm not a believer in the Nets. I don't care that they just went on an 11-game winning streak. I'm just not.
We're with you.
I've got to go with Milwaukee still. They're just
good.
My default pick.
Good. I have a plus 4,000 ticket on DraftKings Sportsbook for that exact finals matchup.
I love
that, Harrison. Hey, always a pleasure. Harrison Wynn, DMVR Nuggets. Check out all his stuff. Now the fun really begins in the NBA. So thanks, Harrison. Have a great weekend, man.
Well, Broncos season is over, so Nuggets season has officially begun.
It's begun. Congratulations to you. Yeah. And as Harrison said, now with Broncos season mercifully over, it's the time to get in on the Nuggets and get in on some NBA betting. DraftKings Sportsbook this time of year is offering new users a $5 pregame money line on any NBA team to win $150 in free bets. If and when that hits, it's an amazing deal. Nuggets right now, obviously hot, and that's on top of all their great bigger payouts, boosted same game parlays, just amazing stuff. It's where you want to be as a sports fan, as you are dialed in on all the action this entire winter. Download the app now. Get in on the holiday hoops action. Sign up with code DMVR. Place a $5 pregame money line bet on any NBA team to win and get $150 in free bets. If they do, only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code DMVR. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. And also, I want to tell you about our good friends at Denver Health. It's open enroll time for individual health plans now through January 5th. Denver Health Medical Plan offers Elevate Exchange plans available on the Connect for Health marketplace with great benefits and affordable plan choices. You can also call direct at 303-602-4912 and sign up online at denverhealthmedicalplan.org. Elevated Exchange plans have options for individuals and families looking for cost-effective, quality health insurance for those who might not get coverage through their employer or are self-employed. All Elevate Exchange plans include adult dental and vision at no additional cost. It's a great deal. Plus, this year we offer lower monthly premiums than any plan currently available on the marketplace. It's amazing, and we've added new mental health benefits for your regular copay. Go online or give them a call at 303-602-4912. Plan members have options to receive care at any of their 10 facilities in Denver. Additionally, this year, they are adding a new virtual mental health option called Elevate Mind. It's available 24/7 at the cost of a normal copay. Great for those who need convenient resources for mental health. It's really life-changing and amazing. Open enrollment for exchange runs through November 1st through January 15th. So sign up now. Call today at 303-602-4912 or visit them at denverhealthmedicalplan.org. And we're back. Zach Stevens, our guy, final week having to cover these putrid Broncos. Zach, is it fair to say, in your illustrious career, you've covered many bad Broncos teams. Does this stand out above the rest?
It's true. Yeah, I have covered many bad Broncos teams, Dre. Only one winning team, and that was the 9-7 team. So they didn't even make the playoffs. Maybe this is my fault. Maybe I need to be fired. Actually, don't do that. Don't do that, Dre, please. But yeah, this is the worst. It's not only the most disappointing, but it truly is the worst team. And Dre, this team on Sunday has a chance to become the first 13-loss team in Denver Broncos history. Just Holy think cow. About that. I mean, this was the Nathaniel Hackett positivity energy. This was Russell Wilson coming to town. Broncos made some good or big moves, I should say, big, not good moves in free agency. And this was supposed to be the year that this isn't the last Broncos practice of the year. That's supposed to be in a couple of weeks when they're playing playoff games.
Yeah, it's been just something from another world. And on top of that, already looking for a new coach, just surreal. It really hit me hearing you guys on the pod a few days ago, gosh, might have even been last week, but talking about how in the Pat Bowlen era, Pat had only hired two coaches.
Yep. Exactly. But Henry was wrong on that. We found out he also hired Wade Phillips. So that would be three coaches. Yeah.
But just insane still, to think. Yeah. I mean, just insane that we are here and that these last 6 years have been this way.
And you bring that up about the three coaches in the Pat Bowlen era that he hired. We're going to be looking at the third head coach in 3 years for the Broncos.
Yeah, that's just nuts. That is not the standard that Pat Bowlen had set. So how do you stop the bleeding, Zach? What are you looking for in this candidate? And have you identified any that might just be the solution to all our problems?
You've got to swing big. You have to. And swing big, not at a person that doesn't have it. You pretty much have to have experience here. Now, for me, I would still interview some other people because I don't want to miss out on the Sean McVays, the Kevin O'Connells, the Mike McDaniels, the first-time head coaches. But this ownership, Dre, it's pretty much a non-negotiable that they have to have someone with experience. And not just experience, but good experience. And so it boils down to two candidates. I mean, there is a top tier for these Denver Broncos, and then there's everyone else. And the gap between the top two and everyone else is gargantuan. It's Sean Payton and Jim Harbaugh are the top two guys. They're both going to cost a lot of money. They're both going to take a lot of power when they take over this job. Right. They're not just going to be the head coach and build their own coaching staff, whoever they want, but they're also going to take over the personnel side. They will be deciding, in my opinion, if George Payton stays to be the general manager or if they bring in their own guys. And then they're also going to be the ones with final say over personnel. So you're giving up a lot of money. You're giving up a lot of power. But that's what you have to do in order to land one of these two guys. And then, of course, with Sean Payton, you're also going to give up a lot of draft picks in order to get him. Jim Harbaugh, you're just going to pay Michigan the $2.5 million buyout, which it's insane that it's that low.
Right. It really is. And he, of course, coming off a bit of a doozy in the national semifinal, some weird choices there. And now maybe that whole program in a bit of trouble. Maybe there's an easy out there, and it sounds like the Panthers have already talked to him. So he is a known and hot commodity right now. Does the appeal of fixing everything by just having one head guy who essentially is the GM and coach, does that appeal to you, Zach? Like, I'm just thinking, it's not the Pittsburgh Steelers model necessarily.
It's certainly not. Now, if the Broncos could get that type of stability that the Steelers have, their model, absolutely. Right. But the Broncos, what they need is they need someone just to come in and take over, not just the entire football operation, but they need to take over the locker room. They need to take over Russell Wilson. They need to take everything over. And that's why it's a lot easier to hire one person to do all of that than to try to find, you know, three different people and hit home runs with all of those. And so absolutely, I think you just go for one of these guys. And the biggest thing, Dre, at this point isn't in the interview process. I think it's these coaches interviewing the Broncos, because we don't know about this ownership group. But what are they going to be like? Just a couple of months ago, Greg Penner, the Broncos CEO and owner, said he's not a football guy. He's going to leave football decisions to the football people. It sounds like a lot like Pat Bowlen. 4 months later, Dre, he's leading the coaching search. He says how he's impatient and how he's taken this thing over, which one is exciting in the way where you see he's not going to stand for 4-13, for 5-12. He's not going to stand for that. And so I think that's a great thing that he's going to take action. But if he takes too much control, you start thinking, oh, is it going to be Jerry Jones over here now? Is he then going to take over general manager responsibilities? I don't expect that to happen. But the fact is, we don't know anything about this new ownership group. What we do know is they're going to spend whatever they need to get whoever they want. And that's just something that the Broncos have that no other team can compete with when it comes to the amount of money. And so that's why I do end up thinking that they get Sean Payton or Jim Harbaugh.
John Payton. Can we combine the two?
There you bring them both
genius
in.
Idea. Right. I mean, there's $4 billion, you know, a combined $50 million salary for John Payton might just be the next workaround.
And then included in that, you can have Peyton Manning be the quarterback coach. How about that?
Oh my gosh. Sign me up. Yeah. between the two, do you have a favorite right now?
Jim is my favorite. And the reason for that is, Dre, everywhere he goes, wins.
Yeah.
Like, instantly. He did it at San Diego. He did it at Stanford. He did it with the San Francisco 49ers. And that's the most important one for me because that's his NFL experience. But he took over a 49ers team that was in shambles and took them in 4 years, took them to three NFC championship games, took them to one Super Bowl. The success is just incredible. And so then the question is, people have is, well, why was he only in the NFL for 4 years? Why hasn't he got another job? Well, he could have had other NFL jobs, but the reason he was only in San Francisco for 4 years is he can rub on people a little bit and can grind on people. But you know what? If Sean Payton comes here for, I'm sorry, Jim Harbaugh comes here for 4 years, great. That's fantastic. And then he flames out at the end. Great. Turn this organization around, put them in a better spot than where they are right now. And give him all the power he wants. And really, that's what it came down to, was a power struggle.
Yes.
There's going to be no power struggle here, Dre, because I'm saying, Jim, this is all yours. Take it and run with it, because I think he can flip the Broncos around, especially on offense and especially with Russell Wilson. He's going to be able to tell Russell Wilson no, which I think is important. Yeah. He's going to be able to do that right away. And I think the Broncos, if they get Jim Harbaugh, my early prediction, playoff team next year,
Let's
Dre.
Let's go. Playoffs. That's what I like to hear. I like Jim as well. He feels like more of a quarterback whisperer than Sean Payton. You know,
exactly.
Great job winning with Drew Brees. You know, congratulations. But Jim's won with a lot of different quarterbacks.
You're spot on. And what Jim Harbaugh was able to do in San Francisco, he took over a very disappointing Alex Smith, got him to have a career year up to that point in his career, was able to make him a good quarterback. And then he took a second round pick in Colin Kaepernick and was able to make him go to the Super Bowl, lead the team to the Super Bowl. And then also he was a borderline Pro Bowl quarterback. So what he could do with Russell Wilson is, I think he can get him back to being the Russell Wilson that the Broncos thought they were getting for 10 years in Seattle, which is so, so important. And Sean Payton certainly is still a great coach, but he did it with Drew Brees. And also, he had 3 7-9 seasons in back-to-back-to-back years. That, to me, I mean, that's not impressive. No, he still has, of course, had a lot of other success, but that's why Jim's my number one guy.
Yeah, that NFC South ain't the AFC West with Mahomes and Andy Reid. You know, that bit of a different standard out here. What you're describing is not a great situation for George Payton.
Correct.
These candidates being the top candidates is very bad for George.
And that's what's so interesting about this. And we had weird dynamics when George Payton was hired, with Vic Fangio being in those meetings. And it's like, well, Vic's going to hire this guy, and then this guy's going to have the opportunity to fire him. Turns out that's exactly what happened 1 year after Vic Fangio hired George Payton. And now it's the exact same thing. George Payton is going to be part of this search to bring the next general manager, or this next head coach in, but he could end up hiring a guy that ends up firing him a week after taking the job, 4 months after taking the job, 1 year after taking the job. And that's why I really like that Greg Penner's leading this coaching search, but it's just such a weird role for George Payton to be in. And look, George Payton is extremely respected in the NFL for his ability as being able to be a talent evaluator. At 4-13, Dre, he's not a respected general manager in the NFL right now. Look at the moves he's made. He hired Nathaniel Hackett. He hired, made the trade and contract for Russell Wilson. He signed Randy Gregory. There have been some good things that he's done, but as he admitted, the reason the Broncos are in this situation is because of him. He hired Hackett. He brought in most of this personnel. He admitted it. That's tough when then a couple of weeks later, your job may be evaluated.
Yeah, that Nathaniel Hackett hire, above all else, will weigh heavily on his tenure with the Broncos one way or another. Zach, I could go on for hours with you.
We've done it before.
Practice. We have done it before. He'll have you covered all offseason long with this coaching search. He's done it many times before. He will do it again. Friends, Zach, always a pleasure, man. Enjoy this last week of this putrid season. And love you, man. Have a great weekend.
Dre, no one knows how to use the right words to talk about how wrong something is than you.
It's a special talent. Thank you. No doubt. Appreciate you, Zach. Take care, man.
Awesome to catch up with our guy, Zach Stevens. Always the best. And also always the best are our good friends at Breckenridge Brewery. You guys know we love Breck Brews at DNVR. They are the best beer for any occasion. And right now, I think some special stuff coming down the pipe. Check that out. Stay tuned for all that. Check out their beer locator at breckbrew.com to find a Breck Brew near you. Those guys are the best. Always take good care of us. Take care of them. Check them out. Check out the beer locator. And have yourself just a lovely little winter weekend with some Breck Brews. And also, new year, new diet. Well, quit pushing it off, because Illegal Pete's has what you need with endless options of fresh ingredients that can fit almost any diet or dietary restrictions. It's a no-brainer. Eat Pete's for the health of it. Check out any of their 10 Colorado locations for happy hour from 3 to 6 p.m. every single day. No happy hours for you this month. Try out a refreshing Hop Lark Citra at any Illegal Pete's location. It's everything you love about ice cold beer, except it's dry January friendly. Illegal Pete's is always our go-to spot for burritos, buddies, and beer. It's the go-to lunch spot here at the DMVR office. Check them out. They are the best. And we're back, the Denver Sports Podcast, presented as always by Breckenridge Funslinger, here with Rudo, our guy. This is your time of year. Rudo's doing pre-games, watch-alongs, post-games. He's a sicko. Few people love ball. I can't even say love ball like Rudo. You just love the puck, you know. You're living that puck life.
About it, for sure.
Yeah, that's what we love about you, Rudo. What we're not loving right now is the Avs taking an early lead and seemingly even like ending a first period and being like, oh, they should be up like 3-0 right now, and then absolutely squandering that lead. We kind of felt like with Mac returning, things would get better. Mac has returned. Things do look better. And then things look terribly worse because they cannot close out a game. What is happening, Rude Boy?
Their team defense just had a complete meltdown the other night. It kind of happened a few nights before that as well against LA. No nice way to say it. It's not been good. It needs to be better. Full stop. You even in this last one got reasonably good goaltending from Alexander Georgiev. It's on the skaters in front of him to just play better.
So what's the problem? Is this just the forward depth that's slowly but surely coming back to haunt them on top of all these injuries? Are there deeper issues here? How concerned are you?
I mean, it's a really multifaceted problem. The forward depth is part of it, but that's more, you'd like to see them score a few more goals and make their lives easier.
Right.
If they score a third goal, if they go up by three, they're not, I mean, they could blow that, but it's extremely less likely that they're going to blow that. But beyond that, right now their defense is just struggling top to bottom. Their best pairing is just exhausted because they've been playing Makar and Taves 28 minutes a night, maybe more than that some nights. Right. They're just out of legs. Their best pairing just is out of legs. And beyond that, the rest of their pairings haven't been good either. Gerard and Eric Johnson just have not played well together at all in any way, shape, or form. They desperately need someone back so they can split those two up and just try something different, because right now their bottom pairing is two AHL players that they just kind of have to live with whatever they get out of right now. And they're not getting good enough out of any of those six guys right now. It just needs to be better. The concern-o-meter, it's not at a one. For sure. Uh-huh. But I'm not super concerned. Maybe like a 3 or a 4 out of 10.
Love that.
It's something that you have to think about. The Avs cannot continue to play like this for sure.
Yeah.
But I don't think they will. We saw a significant amount of frustration from this Colorado Avalanche team as they were blowing this last game. And to me, that means they know they can play significantly better than this. They know they're better than this and are will play better than this. So I'm not concerned yet, but I'm definitely not chilling either.
Right, right. Yeah, it's kind of like maybe don't panic now, but we need to see some changes here. The way they've lost these four in a row can't really be sustained here. You've been a guiding force for me in this tough stretch, and I saw you on Twitter saying, like, it just feels like the dam's going to break open any minute, any period here now. What's giving you that confidence and optimism that the forwards will kind of figure this out?
So the Avs have been one of the unluckiest teams in the NHL for the past month and a half now. They're shooting under 5% at 5-on-5, which is just not sustainable.
That's insane.
It would be the worst shooting percentage ever by like 3%. It's insane.
It's wild.
How poorly they've been shooting. And you know, everyone comes back and says, well, they're playing all these AHL players. Yeah, it's a little bit of that, but it's more than that. They've hit, I think, 5 or 6 posts in their last 3 games alone.
Right. So
you just half of those go in and they win at least 2 of these 3 games.
Yeah.
They've had a number of horrible bad luck bounces. The other night, the first goal against bounces off of the referee to stay in the zone. It's crazy how much bad luck they've had. And that's no excuse. That's just a reality. They've had bad luck. The thing is, they're going to get better beyond the bad luck. Even if you ignore the bad luck,
right?
It's so easy to forget because they've had so many guys on IR for so long. Today, right now, they're missing 3 of their top 6 forwards and 2 of their top 4 defensemen. So 25% of their forward core and a third of their defensive core is just going to come back over the next month and make them a significantly better hockey team in every single facet.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Those injuries cannot end soon enough. How have you felt about the addition of Georgiev in this tough stretch? He has felt like a really bright sign and has kind of just like fit in and felt like old reliable in a lot of ways. I've been pretty impressed myself.
Yeah, he's definitely been good. Far from perfect, as no goaltender is perfect, but on the whole, his statistics are really quite solid. He has had a little bit of streakiness. He's had a couple of downturns where he's not making some of the saves he should be making, some of the easier ones. Mm-hmm. But even through those downturns, he's making some high danger saves that are really keeping the Avs afloat at times. There have been stretches where you do need better play from him, but that's true of every goalie in existence at a certain point. Goaltending is just hard. For a guy that the Avs took a straight up gamble on this offseason, he's pretty much proven himself as an NHL starter. And I don't know how the Avs can ask for a whole lot more out of him on an every single night basis. Game to game, sometimes, but so far this season, you're really happy with what you've gotten out of him.
Yeah, we can all nitpick, but it does feel like maybe the biggest question mark entering the Avs season feels like not as much of a looming danger. Now it's some of these other things that need to be figured out. And so do you expect some moves at the deadline? Like, is just wait out the injuries and hope everyone can come back, and that once this is over, you get some continuity with the team at full strength? Or do you think they need to make some moves and some like real tweaks need to happen to this roster to be back where they need to be?
Both. I think it's genuinely both. I do believe they will make some moves at the deadline. I would be very, very surprised if they make any moves significantly before the deadline, though. Exactly what you said. They need to get healthy players back and get some of that continuity to see where their holes really properly are. This team's top 6 has not played a single game together this year.
Wild.
Not one. So this team, you really don't have a full understanding of how good it really is yet this year. I would pretty comfortably say, as long as they get reasonable injury luck for the rest of the year, they're definitely a playoff team. So it's not anything super concerning unless more injuries crop up. But at the same time, there are probably holes in it. You're looking at the two center position. Maybe you believe in Erod to fill that, maybe not. You just kind of have to wait and see there. You'd certainly like to add at least one defenseman. Maybe that's more of a sixth or seventh defenseman, so not as impactful of a role. Right. But I would be very, very surprised if they didn't add anything at the deadline. The question is, how much are they willing to spend? Are they willing to give up this year's first round pick? Are they willing to give up another A-grade prospect? And the answer to that is maybe. I don't know if that's the right decision. Obviously, if they do it and they win a cup, you're never going to complain.
Right.
But the cupboards are starting to get pretty thin right now for Colorado. So we'll see exactly what they want to give up.
Yeah, they really do. And by watching them this season, it almost feels like, man, this has been such a struggle. Is this really the year you want to double down on? Then I go on the DraftKings Sportsbook app. They're still the presumptive favorites in the West. They're behind only the Bruins as plus 600 favorites to win the cup this year and still minus 650 to make the playoffs. So the book thinks it's just a matter of time until this gets figured out. And yeah, definitely you want to double down because they're right there. It just looks so brutal sometimes, but maybe that's me being a bit of a prisoner of the moment because this four-game losing streak has felt way more drastic in some ways.
Yeah, it's really hard not to become a prisoner of the moment with the way the Avs have played, but it's super easy to forget. The Avs are four games over 500 right now.
Right.
They're a decent hockey team with a not-so-decent roster at the moment. They're finding ways outside of this current losing streak. They're finding ways to win hockey games and keep themselves afloat. If they make it another 2 weeks, most of their guys are going to be back in the lineup, and they're just going to be significantly better. There's no two ways around that. So it's really easy for me to look ahead and see a pretty easy path to the playoffs for this team. Again, if injuries don't continue. If injuries continue, all bets are off, of course. But as right now, today, if you stopped it by points percentage, the Avs are in the playoffs. So
at some point, the injury luck has to turn their way. It just,
I hope so.
It has to. I'll be knocking on wood, but I'm just saying. And a couple more weeks, then you have the All-Star break, a little more prolonged break, and then maybe starting early February, we might really see closer to 80-90% of what we thought this team would be. Speaking of All-Star break, a big snub for Mikko Rantanen. The Big Moose has been on an unbelievable tear. As rough as it's been to tune in and watch the Avs this last week, it has been a joy to tune in and watch Mikko do his thing. He's really playing some great hockey.
Yeah, national media just sees Cale Makar's name and is like, well, let's just get Cale Makar in the All-Star game. And I don't blame them. Cale Makar's amazing.
He is great. But
Mikko Rantanen has been the better Av this year. Yeah. There's no doubt in my mind that he has been the best Av, especially in the month where Nathan MacKinnon was out. That guy straight up took over games for the Colorado Avalanche.
Right.
He's in the top five in NHL goal scoring. He's just absolutely full moosing on the NHL and 100% deserves to be in the All-Star game. You can still vote him in. You can go vote for him on Twitter.
Yep. Get it done.
He definitely deserves to be there.
100%. He's been a joy. The Moose over 3.5 shots on goal, a lock every single night. He clears it by 2 minutes into the second period. It's a joy to see.
Has had games with 9, 10, and 13 shots as of late. So.
Oh, he's a monster. Love that, man. He's Nathan Rudolph, the MVR Avalanche. Every single day, he's on that grind, getting you covered on the Avs, whether it's game day or not. Rudolph, always a pleasure. Enjoy your weekend. We look forward to the Avs getting healthy. And thanks to Breck Brew Funslinger for presenting this here pod. Have a great weekend, everyone. We'll be back next week. I like moving more.